Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Fantastic Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And I've got my able co-host, the one and only indomitable Resha Resha with me in the building. Resha, what's good, bro?
Yeah, I'm good. How you doing? What's going on?
Not bad. Yeah. I mean, we're grinning and grinding, you know, pushing it through.
But you know this, what's it called? This foil thing. I think he has his upside too.
His upside.
but that's going to be a strange, what's it called?
Umami.
Saying to anybody that is listening to me.
You know me. How's it? What upside?
The roads kind of seem to be free.
Nah, like, fam. The roads ain't free.
Are you sure?
The road ain't free.
Because I was on the road.
When?
I mean, most of last week.
Depends. Now, maybe you're on the road in off-peak hours.
This one is not off-peak hours. Seriously. This one is off-peak hours.
I still be seeing the traffic still.
Well, it was unusual for me because all the places that normally I would experience, you know, heavy traffic, you know, unusual. And I asked, what's it called? Some of my guys, like, yeah, you know, and they're like, it has been like that.
I think the traffic has reduced, sort of, because I know that sometimes driving from the island, like, to the mainland at certain times in the day, like, yeah, from, say, 5 p.m.
yeah,
to, like, 6 p.m. ish or 7 p.m. is, like, torrid.
Yeah.
It used to be torrid. Like, yeah, you spend 3 hours on the road. But now you could just spend, like, an hour.
Exactly. An hour. That's what I'm saying. So
the traffic tends to clear up much faster than the past. And then there's this serious exodus of human beings I always see on that eco bridge. Like, once you start to reach, not even eco bridge, from Edo,
yeah,
coming out of Balogun Market and all those places, like, I see, like, an avalanche of people just trekking. Like, they're just trekking the entire bridge. They're not even bothering, like, trying to board any bus. They just want to walk all the way home.
The truth of the matter is that's, like, if you can take that picture or you can take that video,
yeah,
that's the typical Nigerian. They just want to survive.
You don't have a choice.
Let's not even go there because we'll jump into another situation now. But I just feel like, I mean, our government should, I mean, we need to see through what the guys are going through, you know, and not concern themselves with one stupid war
I knew you were gonna go there.
You know, seriously, one stupid war that what's it called, them Biden and them all these West are trying to push us into with our, I mean, Nigerian, you know, brothers.
Funny enough, I don't even think Biden, I don't think the US are so involved as much as France. I feel like France is actually more in the forefront issue going on.
They are.
US.
France is the front runner because of,
yeah,
which, you know, France,
uranium, and their direct impact on
but the US. Kamala has called your man.
Whose man?
Your man.
Whose man?
Tinubu.
Whose man? Whose man? Whose man? Not my man.
they've called them. You know. I just feel Nigeria should not get themselves involved in any unnecessary war. We don't want any war. They are the ones that like to fight war. If they feel that their interest is really, really, what's it called, being
at stake,
yeah,
they
so
should
they should
go,
go there
should go on.
and fight and all. They should not push what's it called, Tinubu into any war and all. Just leave, and the lights that they are cutting out of Niger doesn't make sense, really.
Yeah, because like, the Nigerian people are the ones going to suffer.
Exactly, but it can only go for so long, because when you cut out, I mean, what's it called, supply from them, they are looking for alternative. Immediately, they are looking for alternative. And the moment they are able to do without you, then that means that's another relationship, you know, I mean, sword and all. So for me, I just feel like we should get ourselves out of the stupid world that they are trying to push us into and then face our own issues here in Nigeria. We have not even stopped musical insurgents. We have not stopped people killing themselves in the East,
yeah,
you know, all in the guise of IPOB or what have you and all. We have not fixed all that. Now it's another war with another country that we want to go and be fighting. Very senseless.
Yeah, I mean, it's just lack of priorities. And this time when Nigeria is happening to a lot of Nigerians, the focus should be on how do we preserve Nigeria as a whole, first of all, before we start talking about instilling democracy in West Africa.
He's stealing democracy. I mean, that one is, that statement is really
yeah.
The irony.
Yeah.
The irony that statement.
Because the interesting thing is that when the people in Niger, that's the in actual citizens,
yeah,
they've also been protesting, right? And they're saying
Mr. They're Bola saying they want what is happening. Yeah.
In fact, I saw a banner where they were like from Bola, they canceled it and put E. Before the Bola, say Ebola. That's my president. People are talking to be careful. Mind yourself.
Yeah,
they're calling him Ebola. I'm like, leave us alone, Mr. Ebola virus. We don't want you over here. We're good.
No, seriously, man, Nigeria. You know, I mean, we're going to go into another thing that we shouldn't go to. But you know, I've always said it. Like this is what I've always said. Africans need to start acting independently. Africans need to start acting independently from all these, all these colonial, guys over there and all.
Yeah.
We should determine if indeed we are really free and we are the one making those decisions by ourselves, or we can actually just tell them to come and take over the government, give them president, let them occupy the Senate and occupy the House of Rep and all the local government. Let's know that they are the one that is still, ruling us. So we know that, okay, any decision that we make, they are the one making it for us and all. But if that's not the case, then Africans need to start acting independent. That's what they say now.
Yeah.
Independent nation. Yeah. So we should start acting like that.
But, you know, the problem that I have is that the reason why I'm not really very enthusiastic about the coup and the military in Niger and Burkina Faso and Mali saying they want to take over their own countries and, being charged by destiny is that, yes, let's say they take control, right? Like Mali and Burkina Faso now, the military have firmly established control. Will it really translate into economic growth and development for the people? That's a question that left to be seen. And what I've seen, and we use Nigeria as a case study, is oftentimes the freedom that we want to fight for, or we fight for Libya and that case study, when we do get it, we make a greater mess of situations than what we found it as. And I'm yet to see an African country that can get its act together upon the ascension of freedom and build a sustainable economic growth and development that benefits people progressively over time. I'm yet to see it. So while we're excited that the military are taking over, the corrupt, and the script is always the same. This military junta has take control, grab a microphone, and then label the government that they have overthrown as corrupt and say all the nice things. How can Africa, blessed with the abundance of resources, blah 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 blah, how can we still be at the mercy of Euro, blah 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 blah? See, Abacha, all these guys, Babangida, they all read the same scripts during their coups when taking over, and they made flagrant promises. We didn't say shit. In fact, they were more corrupt than the government that they overthrew, right? Burkina Faso has been under military control for more than a year. Mali as well. Some of these coups were done in 2021. Between 2021 and now, how much have the people of these countries fared in terms of the military rule that has taken over? I can tell you that not much has happened in terms of improvement. So
yeah,
I'm not really excited about all these things that we're seeing. It's going to be more of the same unless something drastically different.
Yeah, happens. Fair point. But the question is, was Libya, were they needing any intervention to begin with?
Libya was even fine, to be honest.
Extremely fine.
They were I wouldn't say extremely because fine. Gaddafi had his excesses, right?
No, extremely fine.
But he was doing well.
Extremely fine compared to, other nations.
Yeah.
Libya was faring well. As a matter of fact, they said, part of the pegs, that the government gives, they had enough to give to go around and all. Part of the pegs was, you want to get married, they are going to give you money.
Yeah.
So many things that was happening around that place. But, let me just go back to the main point. Now, the question to now ask is, should we now say, maybe it's not the military or the democratic setting that is the problem?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the people.
It's the people that's the problem. Yeah.
So
100%.
So that's it. And then they are always, what's it called? They are always pawns in the hands of. I mean, like for instance, the one that is happening in Niger now, you know.
Yeah.
They said, what's it called? The military Putin. Guys are the Wagner boys.
Yeah.
You know?
They're and coming.
Then the, what's it called? The democratic government belongs to, what's it called? France.
Yeah.
You know, they are towing the, I mean, France out and all and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. We are the pawns, Abi.
No one is really in control. I don't really.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing now. So I mean, and yeah. It shows how senseless we are as a people.
Yeah.
When we allow them to use us as pawns, you know, and all. And I think those are the things that the people that are going into government.
You know why?
To think about.
It's easier to be used as a pawn because all of these governments, this established government, can dangle treaties, right? Sorry, they can dangle treats. At the face of whoever it is that's calling the shots over here in Africa, right? France, Russia, you know, America, Europe, you know, they can easily make promises and say, as you taking control in this country, Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, whatever, you know, these are the access, these are the resources that we want access to. In return, these are the kind of things you can get. We can give you IMF loans. This support billions of dollars, you know, just,
and if they also
we just throw all this money at you and then make you feel like as if we have some bilateral agreements and all that, and it's easy. But the hard work is turning down all of these aids in quotes and saying we will dig deep within ourselves to build something from the ground up that can give us the solidity to stand on our own. None of all these guys, the day we see an African leader rise up and say, Russia, we appreciate the support, but stay on your own. France, we appreciate the support, stay on your own. England, we appreciate the support, stay on your own. We will build from the ground up. The day I see an African leader come up and say that, that is the day that I will have faith that the African people are ready to chart their own course.
Maybe Andrew Tate was right after all.
That what?
You don't want to get out of the matrix because then they'll come after you.
Bro, they're all in the matrix.
Yeah. That's maybe they got that on some of the African leaders too. Yeah. So
I'm not even thrilled by the guy in Niger. I mean, all of them are calling him Thomas Sankara, Incarnate, blah, blah, blah. Bro, he's saying all the right things because they've given the script. He's cutting along the path of Russia, right? Mm. And Putin. Yeah. Fine. So he's going to become Putin's new
doll baby. I even got one.
That's what's going to happen.
My friend forwarded me one video. It was by one guy, not verified anyway. And then what he said was that because Putin and the US are loggerheads, you know, they've cut, and then Putin is cutting their supply, energy supply, you know, into what's it called. So they want what's it called to start depending on Nigerian supply. And Nigerian supply is cutting through Niger, going to Morocco. So okay. If it lands in Morocco, then Morocco can now supply the rest of, you know, West and all and everything. Mm. So they said that's the power tussle now.
Oh.
I mean, you see conspiracy theory and all. Mm-hmm. So but for me, I'm just saying, like you said rightly too, you know, I mean the African leaders, we need to begin to look inwards. You know, it's very senseless for us to just sit like a what's it called, duck waiting to to be captured and all, and then they just use us as their piecemeal and all. We also need to kind of think for ourselves, you know, look for internal solution that we can sort out.
Yeah.
I've said it from the beginning. I've never ever, and I'll keep saying it, I never trusted the COVID narrative, and it was like a testing ground for them to carry out whatever they wanted to carry out and all. Mm. And until some people decide like, okay, we're now going to start governing by ourselves, not by any legislation or by any fiat from WHO, EF,
UN,
UNESCO, and all these guys that just constitute themselves, and they are saying now there's a lot that we can talk about really, but I'm not. So for me, I'm just talking to my African counterpart. Really, we need to begin to look inwards. There is a lot that we can enjoy if we can just, disagree but coexist. Disagreement doesn't necessarily mean that we're disloyal to the ultimate goal, which is for us to develop our country, you know, to the best of our capabilities. but that we think that because we disagree and then we don't have to see eye to eye, it's senseless, really. You know, you can be Muslim, you can be outside, you can be whatever and all.
Yeah.
We can always disagree. But the common goal is that, can I allow, I mean, not necessarily allow, can we all coexist, you know, amongst ourselves, you know, without looking at ourselves as the enemy? Because when you see somebody as an enemy, then you are looking for every way to take them out. And then once the, what's it called, these parasites that are from the West, once they see that that is the fracture that is there, they will just keep feeding you that that's your enemy. That's your enemy. You need to kill your brother. You need to kill your brother. That's what we're doing with the Nigerians now. No.
Yeah.
Now they're creating an enemy. We've never had any issue with them. Now they want to create an enemy amongst.
Like, we straight up want to just like go to war with these guys. Like straight up. I mean, moving on. Sad news. Nigeria has happened to another Nigerian. Unfortunately. Did you hear about the news of the lady that unfortunately lost her life in an elevator mishap? Dr. Vuari Diaso. I think she was a resident doctor. I don't know. The news is that she was about 2 months away
is
from completing her. No, it's a general hospital in Odon. Is it Odon? Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's in Lagos. Simple.
Yeah, Lagos Island. She had called an elevator, you know, just trying to leave the building, leave her quarters, actually, the doctor's quarters. And sadly, the elevator let loose and had a free fall, shattered at the ground floor. Terrible stuff. And what even makes it more terrible, really, is that upon impact of that accident, the news was that she was still sort of alive, despite the many fractures. But it was the aftercare that's just really, really, everything that happened post that accident was so appalling. First off, it took about an hour to get out of, you know, the site. Secondly, they said things like they couldn't find blood for her. And in short, just the post-incident treatment was really, really lacking. And to think that this happened inside a general hospital, a federal hospital, where you think it's probably the one place you want to have
an help.
You think it's probably the one place you want to have like an incident like that so that you can get like immediate help. And she did not get that help. She died. As usual, your governor has come forward and given a very long, heartfelt speech. And they've promised to do an investigation to find out who the scapegoat will be to be hanged for this incident. But aside from just doing an investigation and finding out what, I mean, people that work in this hospital have said that for like almost a year, they've been ringing the alarm bells that this elevator is not good. It needs to be serviced. And they continued using it like that for over a year until it eventually led to the loss of life.
Killed one person.
The only question I have to ask is that, is there something, did they sew something at the four corners of this country called Nigeria? And did somebody make a proclamation somewhere and say that for as long as time exists, a certain prince of Persia will reign supreme over this country? Because I don't understand a nation that has the kind of bright minds that we have for foolishness, mediocrity, and just an outright lack of doing the reasonable to be so dominant in this country. It is mind-boggling. It's worrisome.
Yeah, I mean,
it is almost spiritual at this point.
Except of course, we want to play woke. We want to act all cute, you know, with ourselves. I don't even know who is looking anyway. I don't know who we are trying to, I mean, impress, you know, with that mindset. That's when we would say there is nothing spiritual about our lives, you know. No. But at the same time, it's very sad. It's very sad, really, you know. And should that happen to maybe someone's, I mean, one of these elected official's daughter or maybe an elected official's son, and all, we know what they do. They put them on their private plane and they fly them out immediately, you know. Little wonder that is what we are experiencing back here, really. And I mean, it calls consistently calls for introspection, really. You know, because, like I said, nobody is going to come and save us. Really. The environment that we create for ourselves, we will be the victim of such environment, and that's what we are experiencing. And guess who received the the brunt of that?
The people.
Yeah, the innocents. We talked about the guys that are trekking out because of the fuel subsidy. And the government officials, they refuse to let go of the 70 billion naira for their furniture allowance. I mean, this stuff should speak directly to how, I mean, it impacts the people and all. I heard one man that was talking on, I think he was on TVC, he's a multiple PhDs and all. I was talking about how Nigerians now needs to start, because of the way things are now, how Nigerians needs to start now eating, what's it called? Or, I mean, 101, you know? It calls for real, you know, real perseverance and all. And I'm like, okay, you are making points. You are making points. But you would make all the points and it will be well, received if this same, challenge, you know, is put across to the guys that are leading us as well. They too should kind of cut down on all their excesses, all the things that they are doing. No more renovation of any national assembly building for anything whatsoever.
Straight up.
Until our nation is on the right track.
Yeah.
No more. And if they too can cut down on all those stuff, then you tell Nigerians to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, if Nigerians would have to do that, then our own elected officials too, that we put there, you know, to to give us policies that will make our lives better and not to enrich themselves. If they are not doing that, then don't ask any Nigerians to give up anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely ridiculous and outrightly insane for you to ask the people that are already giving everything that they got for them to keep giving more.
Yeah.
And people that are leading us are not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
You know? So I just feel sad.
I mean, it's double standards, and I think that people need to just open their eyes and smell the coffee, because it ain't lemonade, right? It's coffee. That's what it is. Tinubu gave a very empathetic speech.
Is it Tinubu or Sanwoolu? Is it Tinubu or Sanwoolu?
Sanwoolu.
Sanwoolu was not the one that gave the speech regarding... they've been giving a lot of speech now.
They're all giving speeches. I'm even talking about the fact that, like you said, they've reserved 75 billion for house allowance, right? And Tinubu gave some speech when Labour... threatened to go on strike, and then
they did go on strike.
Yeah, they did. It was not really a strike, more like a protest. So they had like some demonstrations in Abuja and I think Lagos. So you know, Tinubu did his, you know, speech, and then, you know, promising Nigerians that they, you know, he's doing everything he can to ensure that even though at the moment in time we have to go through this difficult period, but that, you know, his administration will not leave us hanging, right? They will come full circle. And I'm saying, the last four presidents have all said the same thing when they've come to power. They've all asked Nigerians to be patient. They've all asked Nigerians that the pains that they are going through are temporary, and then in a good time they will reap the rewards of government interventions. But those rewards never came. In fact, things got progressively worse. And yes, my biggest fear is everyone has praised Tinubu because he's coming and he's made some bold moves. Unification of exchange rates, removal of fuel subsidy, removal of this subsidy, removal of that subsidy. And everybody's happy and saying is, you know, he's unleashing market forces so that all the economic drivers, you know, some very intelligent economists are throwing big words around now and saying that, you know. And the question I'm asking you is this: if in 2 years' time we do not see a well thought out, methodical and pragmatic plan implemented by this government, what will happen is Nigerians would have not been subjected to a situation where they will be buying fuel for 700 per liter as a steady state. We'll get to a position where we'll be exchanging the naira to a dollar at 1,000 naira or even above that as a normal state. We'll get to a position where people don't have spending power anymore. In fact, savings are nulled out because the cost of living is choking the living.
Yeah.
And there will be no respite. That is what we are potentially looking at if this government does not buckle up and work dedicatively to achieve all the promises making.
Yeah, but that's exactly, I mean, nothing to add really. But what I would say to that again is, now having said all what you said, really, we know that we are not the type that follows through. We exactly. Like proclamations. I mean, that's our go-to proclamations. How, like I said, when innocent lady died, you know, in the elevator and all.
Yeah.
Proclamations, textbook proclamations. Yeah. You know, I mean, we'll look into it. Yeah. Set up a committee, you know, to go and look into it. Yeah. And that's the last you hear of it.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah. Straight so up. Now, the all this stuff, all this proclamation that has made regarding for subsidy dollar da, da, mm-hmm. da, and everything. Mm-hmm. The follow through, you know, the consistent being on top of the matter, yeah. and following the policies to the conclusive end.
Yeah.
That is always our problem in That's Nigeria. It. And I mean, we know that, I mean, capacity for us to do that is like close to none.
Yeah.
You know, now how do we sustain all this stuff that you've talked about and all? And I think that's where, you know, I mean, the Nigerian people, the electorate, they need to be on this stuff. Put the elected officials, put their feet to the fire, really. We need, I think it's high time we need to start recalling some of our
but they won't recall them.
But that's the thing.
They won't recall
that's
them
the thing.
Because
that's the
I
thing.
Go on Twitter, and Twitter for me has become a place that sort of depresses me, kind of. Because
when did you come to that realization?
Yeah, because you see the same set of people that you're actually trying to struggle and fight for.
Oh, God.
You see the same set of people that you are losing sleep for, trying to fight for good governance for. They will be defending the same set of politicians that have kept them begging for giveaway for 8 years, for 12 years. You see them defending them. And when you're calling out the bad behavior in these leaders, they will be the one insulting you.
But you know,
do you
the
see
funny,
the madness,
you know, the
inside
funny,
this, this
anybody that defends the government, I've also seen one thread on Twitter. They always go and look for one of their old tweets asking for giveaway.
Bro, they are giveaway champions. They are on all the threads, dropping account number, making all kind of silly sub stories
just to
attract funds and give away.
That's funny.
And then you are trying to tell them, how is it possible that APC is the party that you think should lead you after 8 years of failure? And then they'll be insulting you. So is it that same electorate that you want them to be demanding better from their leader? No. So that's why the situation is actually hopeless. If you look at it,
it takes a
divine intervention from God to actually install the right kind of leadership and system this country needs.
But don't you think that would be unfair of God, you know, having put us here to lead our lives, you know,
and realize that we are too foolish to lead our lives ourselves.
Yeah, so
that's the irony of life, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. So I don't know, really. But I mean, like I said, I mean, I wish the family of the deceased, you know, unfortunate lady, I wish them well. I don't know how that sounds anyway, because they've lost their daughter. You know, she's just trying to get her life together and all, you know.
But yeah,
it is what it is. This is where we are. This is the country that we find ourselves, really.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we can't lose hope and give up, really. Just need to keep fighting, you know, however we can to make it better, really.
May the soul of the departed rest in peace. Hold that thought. Don't go anywhere. We need to go on a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, has some big news to share with the Canadians and the rest of the world. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's your girl Green G, all the way from Germany. My latest single, Hochenau, featuring T. Gotta Flamspeeder, is officially available on all streaming platforms. Keep streaming. Also keep listening to my guys LA and Reg at Funtaka Junction. Real talk. What's up?
If we're tough like cement, we water don't spoil. Scratch like Joe with the crow boy.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us again, as usual, like I always do. If you're still listening to this episode and you haven't subscribed or you haven't clicked on the follow button, what are you waiting for? Guys, come on, don't dull me. Click on the follow button, whether you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or Amazon, wherever it is, whatever platform you're listening on, wherever you are in the world, click on the subscribe button so that you can always get notifications whenever we drop new episodes. And like I always say, we'll be dropping them back to back to back, and you don't want to miss out. Back to the matter.
Yeah, I don't even know why. I don't know why we didn't talk about our girls, you know. I mean, bringing home the trophy yet again for the fourth consecutive time.
FIBA the Tigres.
Champions. Yeah, FIBA champions. Tigres. I don't know why we didn't talk about this.
Like, normal level now. That's even winning too much. Who does normalize it? Like, it's beans.
Yeah, but you know,
it's not beans.
You know, there was, that's always been the case with our sporting organization in this part of the world. Really, you know, there was, you know, the just at the tip of Buhari's tenure when he was rounding up.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of banned Nigeria from all competitive, you know, events.
I never really understood the logic because the
Basketball Federation in Nigeria, they are the most useless.
Okay.
It's just like NFF, you know. Mm-hmm. They had two presidents at some point. They are the most useless set of people that anybody can, wish to have as, you know, governor or leaders and all and everything.
Damn.
So they kind of messed the whole thing up and all. And I think what Buhari tried to do was just, okay, maybe you guys are trying to milk, yourselves, you know, from this, some of the extra code that maybe you are guessing and all and everything.
Yeah.
So they canceled, they said, okay, let's disband them, let them start from the beginning. Funny, I kind of supported it because it just seemed like the NPBF cannot, just take off. So I was really, excited that they ban everybody. Like, everybody just go and all. This is what you now start from the grassroots and all.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they pleaded and, you know, some intervention and all, and then, you know, constitute this new team and all.
Yeah.
And the former coach of the Tigres, he resigned because of that. And also we have a new coach now, Rema Wakama. And Rena Wakama. And this one was just selected in June.
Like two months ago.
Really.
Nice.
And she's 31 years old. She did very well.
She's the first female African coach to win
the cup and all. But while we are basking in the joy and the glory of our landing the trophy and all, I don't think that is the ideal way for us to always keep going about our business in Africa. If I start to talk about it again, it's going to be under 30 minutes. So let me just keep quiet.
No, just on the back of that, right? And our ladies too, and the Super Falcons are, they are doing us proud at the FIFA
exactly,
World Cup.
Exactly.
And they qualify for the round of 16.
Exactly.
Knockout round.
Exactly.
I think they said the Secretary General of FIFA football, a lady. She came. She's an African lady. She came to the locker room, just to encourage girls, right? And she was like, you know what? Because of you girls and the hard work you guys put in, I've actually lobbied the president of FIFA to say what. To say, you know what? The cash money that you guys earned for qualifying for this round, that money is going to be paid directly to your accounts. Because what was so embarrassing was, when the ladies finally booked their qualification to the quarterfinal, to the round of 16, on Twitter, pay them was trending. Like, people were tagging the NFF and like, pay these girls. Apparently, till now, some of these girls have not received their allowances for showing up. Like, people pay them. they've done the country proud. Pay them. Yeah. It was so bad that Arsenal legend Ian Wright actually had to jump on the trend to like tag NFL, like pay them. Like, yo. And yeah, for FIFA to be saying, you know what, because of how corrupt we know your sporting body is, we're going to arrange for you guys to make sure you guys get your money directly. They didn't say that. But that's that statement saying that I've spoken with FIFA to ensure that you guys get your prize money directly. What does that tell you?
I get what you're saying about FIFA calling out the, what's it called, NFF. But isn't that Keto calling the pot black?
Well, all I know is I've not seen other countries' footballing federations owing their players.
The truth of the matter is that FIFA itself is corrupt, but that shouldn't be a yardstick for us.
Well, corruption has standards, though.
Yeah. No, theirs is on another scale.
Isaiah Ayatu, at some point, was he out? Long time ago.
Yeah. He was found to have bribed some people to, I mean, for
Yo, vote cast. Seb Blatter,
the same thing actually, and all. Yeah. So they should go and sit this one out, really. But what I'm saying is that Nigeria, we cannot continue to do things like this. It happens with NFF. It happens with the Nigerian Tigers, the basketball team, and all.
Yeah.
At some point, they pay themselves, you know, pay them their way through, yeah. Pay their own flights, pay their own.
Some point, Mikalobi, when Nigeria went to play the last World Cup qualified for, Mikalobi exactly was literally paying for the hotel bills.
Exactly the same thing
of the squad. The same thing. And I'm like, what the hell?
And these guys, they have allocations. They have money allocated to them all the time and all and everything. They cannot stand on their own. They don't have the expertise, you know, to start generating, you know, private investors, you know, coming to support private companies,
sponsorships and stuff. Sponsorship they can't and all even that. Do all
they
that.
Can't do all that. They sit on their, fat behind in their office and they just milk everybody dry and all.
It's crazy.
You know, at some point, in the NBBF, the money that was coming into that was being paid from FIBA or what have you, going into personal accounts. You can imagine how bad that is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Know? So for me, I commend the girls. You know, the girls are doing us proud.
Yeah, very, true very patriots, proud. To be honest. They're just doing it for the country.
For the football and the basketball. You know, they're doing us very proud. You know,
yeah, we're proud of y'all ladies.
Yeah.
Making it work.
Yeah.
I'm proud of y'all. Yeah.
Talking about patriarchy.
Yeah.
Do you want us to go
there? I just feel like that was like the perfect link to the next topic. Because I know you've been itching
serious
to talk about this one.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to pull up that tweet right now. Belly Chicks on Twitter at Sugar Belly. She calls herself the evil Nigerian feminist.
How do you even call yourself that? How do you even identify yourself as that?
That's wild.
You know? Yeah. Do you want to start engaging such, all in the guise of being woke, evil Nigerian feminist?
Yeah. I don't know. But let's get to it, right? This lady, she calls herself Afi Superstar.
No, Afi is...
She's the wife of... Tayo.
Yeah,
Obiosu.
Obiosu, the Paga guy.
The owner of Paga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big dude. Big dude, Tayo. Bigger boss.
Afi too is a big girl.
Yeah, I know. Real she's doing good. Yeah, no, she's doing good. She's an entrepreneur. Yeah, that's good. So she tweeted and said, at the airport, someone hit my car. I just sat in the car. My hubby got out. That's Tayo. And sorted it out. Car fixed. Other driver refunded. Meaning the other guy probably paid for the whatever. I didn't break a sweat. The perks of patriarchy. Greater sign. Greater hand sign thing to show that, patriarchy is killing it. It's the boss.
Yeah.
And then Sugar Belly, I'm not even going to read this tweet, but she tried to be woke and be like, just because patriarchy is favoring you, because you are in a privileged position to have your man treat you right, doesn't mean that everybody else is having the same experience.
Yeah, so... So, well, who is she? Who is she dating, or who is she married to? That's not treating her right. That everybody else's life should now be bad, you know, because that's what's happening to her. Or what's she trying to say?
No, but I mean, okay, so let me quote her tweet, right?
Yeah.
She says, "This is a luxury belief, Afi. You're wealthy, well educated, and strongly insulated from any potential negative consequences of patriarchy. So you have the luxury to chuckle about whatever potential perks it could have. But the median woman in Nigeria only gets the brunt of it."
Yeah, did she read about Tayo's story when he talked about how he schooled in the US? How he had to pay through his nose? How he had to work several hours, you know, and not sleep, you know, and pay his way through school and all. So what has patriarchy got to do?
What's your point?
Yeah, bottom line, what I'm just trying to say is Afi's man walked his way to where he is. They didn't just grow and then jump on one wealthy, da-da-da, and all that. And, I mean, funny enough, I mean, if you studied Afi's story too.
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, I don't like to jump on bandwagon, you know, just because some people constitute themselves wherever they are and all, and they want to form one revolution movement, and then everybody, they just want to go after everybody. It's all bull crap to me. I mean, when you are attacking somebody, I go to the background, I look at them, and I try to see maybe there is something more there and all. And Afi walked her way through where she is. You know, maybe she has some parents that maybe borrowed that money for, you know, startup or that, da, 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 like, yeah. Who hasn't done that?
But that even has nothing to do with
that. That hasn't, not yet. That's exactly. So what's she saying? Like, she grew up in wealth. What has that got to do with anything? What has that got to do with anything? You know, but I mean, for every woman, I think she should be proud that you have a man, you know, that sorts stuff like that. You know, I don't need to. That reminds me of Seun Kuti's slap and then when the wife came out. And Seun Kuti was like, no. This is not your fight. You know, we could say that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it is, and let's even talk about it, right? Yeah. And all this talk about patriarchy and painting men to be the reason why women can't thrive in the world. The fact remains that on the broader scale, there are benefits that a man being in the picture,
that is what men should do.
Yeah, that a woman cannot just do.
Exactly.
A woman cannot just do it. Exactly. I mean, and listen, I get it that, you know, some men, you know, they do stupid stuff, right? And women do stupid stuff too.
Exactly.
It goes both ways. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
But to now paint patriarchy as some all encompassing bubble that, you know, and you throw that at men and seem like we are the reason why women cannot thrive in the universe.
That's why we have a lot of CCs now coming out.
Do you understand?
You want to feminize men.
Yeah, you want to feminize men.
You want to make them feel like if they can't do some stuff, they should be crying.
Come on.
And all.
Come on. And there's a new trend now, and I see that everywhere. And new generation girls are really, really, you know, buying into it. There's this notion that, you know, a man has to be gentlemanly to a certain degree. So, you know, there's certain expectations that women have that they expect their men to fit into to show that, you know, they are in touch with their emotions and they can love a woman correctly. So you're expecting your man to open the door for you every time.
Yeah.
You guys can literally be walking to the same car and you're expecting him to leave his own door, come to your own door, open it for you to enter before he opens his own door. You know, you're expecting your man to be able to pay attention to certain kind of feelings you're giving without you communicating. And the fact that he cannot read your emotional signal means he's not being gentlemanly enough. They really want to actually just water down the man.
That's what I'm saying. They're creating,
so that you can feel like truly you are actually existing.
They are creating human beings. I'm like, CCs out of men. That's what Jordan Peterson said. Now.
What the hell?
That's what Jordan Peterson said. Now, some of the most dangerous people that you can have in your society are weak men. They are the most dangerous.
It's crazy, bro.
Weak men.
Like, it's crazy, bro. And guess the sound that one that they're now really praising, right? I saw a tweet. Some guy was getting married, right? So he was standing beside his bride, and dude is just like bawling in tears. he's just uncontrollable. Like, he's just sobbing.
Well,
he's just so careful. Yeah. And ladies are like, if my man ain't doing this like this for me, I don't want him. And guys are like,
get the hell out of here, man.
Why the hell am I going to be shedding tears because I'm getting married? Like, you know? And you know, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, women want to reduce men to these certain standards where it's like we are sissy men. Yeah. And we need to be that way so that you can feel like we love
and
you.
And that's the reason why a lot of people like Andrew Tate. And people are getting upset that why are they liking Andrew Tate? But Andrew Tate is kind of projecting, I mean, some form of, you know, I mean,
masculinity.
Which, yeah, some form of masculinity that had been missing for a while now. You get? And you see, there is something about nature. You can't cheat it. When the real ones, the Andrew Tate issue is kind of complex, you know?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that I agree with that guy on. A lot, a whole lot, you know? But there are some messed up stuff that he said and all and everything.
I agree.
But that's that one aside. But there is a whole lot of stuff that I agree, I mean, with that guy on and all. So for me, if that guy now comes out and a lot of people are following him, do you ask yourself why a lot of people are following him? Because the men, it is in their nature to be men. Now, when you try to feminize them and all and everything, and they seem to see a way out, who happens to be Andrew Tate, they will listen to Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, the girl should just sit down and go and stay somewhere.
Really. Yeah.
She, Afi walked her way. She's a smart woman, you know? One of the things that I know she does very well, really, is, I mean, she jogs a lot, you know? And
yeah.
She go miles and all. That takes a lot of discipline and all.
Mm, word.
Know? And if anybody wants to marry a lady like Afi, don't marry one evil feminist that put themselves the only thing that they know how to do on Twitter or on social media is just shout everybody down and, you know, and constitute themselves, go and bring their soldiers so that they come and shout you down and all. It's all nonsense, really. I mean, if you want to model your life after people like Tayo Oviosu and Afi and all, forget all this nonsense that these people are constitutional or saying, what's it called, online. It's all bull crap, really.
It's all bull crap. And the amazing thing is that when you go off the air, and these guys in their real life, like
most of them are failures.
They be taking all kinds of L's.
Exactly.
The things that they tell you that they can't stand or they will never stand for, they be taking those L's.
They are
like
the perfect
in real life
poster child for kissers, kissing boss everywhere.
Oh my god, yeah, that's crazy. Before we move on, if you have any opinions or you want to share your thoughts around anything we've talked about. Hit us up on WhatsApp. We're on WhatsApp 0906279-6726. I'll say that again, 0906279-6726. You can drop us a VN, a short voice note. Let us know what you think about feminism. I mean, patriarchy, misogyny. Interestingly, I saw a tweet where someone said top 5 words that Twitter females have bastardized in the last few years: misogyny, patriarchy,
narcissist must be there.
Narcissist, toxic. Like, ladies be throwing these words.
They just throw it
at the slightest turn. Nah. Like, they just throwing misogyny. Nah. Actually, like chauvinistic.
Nah.
Narcissist. Actually, like
it kind of put things in perspective. Was it Kochimama that said, "Yeah, guys." I'm not part of this. I'm not part of this. Your movement.
this ladies just want to demonize men at every turn,
please.
And I'm like, take a chill pill. I mean, funny thing about it is that women are just as terrible as, you know, the men they are claimed to.
If you accept that, that's the case.
Women are just as terrible.
But the truth of the matter is that we are created differently. We complement ourselves perfectly. And the idea that some person would have to be like a woman, or man would have to be like a woman, or a woman would have to be like a man, for us to now create a perfect world. So, boo, I've the heap of that crap. I've never seen it before. Oh, please.
You're on fire today, Resh. What's going on?
No, seriously. We need to call some things out. Seriously.
Yeah, speaking of calling some things out, legendary actor Pete Edoche had a sit down with media personality Chidiwonwo in an interview, and you know, in that interview he was talking about marriage and talking about how, you know, nowadays, you know, it just seems like the sanctity of marriage isn't being respected anymore. People are just walking out of their marriages like Tom, Dick and Harry. And he cited incidents like Chioma Chukwuka, Tonto DK, what's the other one?
Iwetu
Doyle. You know, and it was like, oh, you're hearing about these women leaving their marriages, like, what is going on? You know, marriage is supposed to be for better, for worse, blah, 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 blah. And then people called him like, hold up, nigga.
Holy there.
You didn't mention your son.
There's somebody hiding behind you.
Why you just casually mention other people in your story else. And then you just ignore
and your son impregnated somebody
you,
else?
Edoche, yeah. Who brought in another woman inside marriage.
Yeah.
The wife, May, had been there for over 15 years, toiling and laboring. She didn't leave the marriage.
Lost her son.
The man is the one that messed up.
Yeah.
In this position. And you didn't talk about that shit. Like, nigga, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, the irony of that statement, really. And while what he's saying, there's some sense in what Peter Doce was saying, really. It's just that it's coming from from the corner that, you know, has their hand in the cookie jar as well, really, you know. So yeah. I mean, and it's been said that the lady, I mean, that Yulia Doce married the first wife, she's going through a lot. They both lost their first son, I think.
Yeah,
you know, and all. And it's something that I guess the man just opened another can of, you know, wound.
Or he lost their first son, and the guy is still dancing like a chicken on Instagram.
Yeah,
come think about it. Do we think that Yulia Doce is under his spell? Could it possibly be under his spell? I think it's under his spell.
I think he's just following his lust, really.
Lost your first son.
But that, you know the stuff with
in tragic circumstances.
But you know the
like
stuff.
That.
You know the stuff with female. You know the stuff with women and the controversies that surround this married relationship and all those stuff and all, really.
Mm.
And don't kid yourself, these guys in the entertainment business. That is one of our issues in the entertainment business. All over the world anyway. It's not really like it's just a Nigerian thing and all, really. Even if the guy doesn't want ladies will come on on him and all.
Uh-huh.
So it's not left for him to kind of get his act together. But go back to what we were saying, you know, I don't think that Peter Doce, I think maybe because it's also getting old, you know.
Mm.
Maybe that also factors into, you know, not being able to kind of cognitively. I'm not saying that, I'm saying that with all due respect, because the man is a legend, you know, he's an icon in Nigerian movie business, Nigerian entertainment business and all. There's nothing you can take away from his craft and his effort and his input into our growth and all that and everything, you know. But those statements are kind of very sensitive.
You
don't just say it like that, you know. I mean, to the women in question.
Yeah, mentioning names too.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I know the Ireti one, for instance, was something that she really didn't want to talk about, because it was something that she didn't think, on what she said,
you
know, it wasn't something that I think she wanted to do like that. It was just irreconcilable differences, you know, they say, you know. You know, so for me, I'm just like, you know, I mean,
he just puts his mic in his face every time he speaks. No, in general though, he says some things that make sense.
No, but
and then
what
some other
said,
area, you know,
what
like,
he said actually made sense.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, contextually, when you look at it from what's happening in his own backyard, you know, and then just calling out names like that, you know. Well, I mean, so that's for me. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah. But if I was going to say one last thing, like, you know, regardless of anything, really, you know, it's important to lead a life that has good example, really, because people are always looking, you know. So when the chips are down, you know, and when it comes to recognition and all stuff like that, maybe your name can go on the other side. So you want to guard against that. You want to make sure that you're doing what you feel like is right for you. So even if they call you out, you know, like, okay, fine, you don't really care, because you've done your best in that regard, you know. say so.
Do you feel like Yulia Duce is going to regret his missteps, his steps these recent years?
I think time will tell. Time will tell, because that's what you can never beat. You know, time will tell. Time is unbeatable. You can't beat time.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the day that you get to know exactly what the results, you know, of your actions, you know, will give to you.
Yeah, speaking about breakfast, let's talk about this intercontinental breakfast that has happened all the way in Canada. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau just announced his split from his, I don't know whether it's a long-term wife. Yeah, like I don't know. Years, damn, that's long-term.
Somebody asked, somebody said, so Trudeau was actually married to a woman.
Who would have known?
You know?
I mean, yeah. Canada's Prime Minister has announced that he and his wife will be separating legally, even as they work together to continue co-parenting.
And they're going to be appearing in public together.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. And again, a lot of people have been like, bruv, we've been saying it for the longest time. This guy can't even keep the country together. How is he going to keep his home together? This nigga gotta go.
I mean, and the people, all those guys that are, that are the forefront of global leadership.
Yeah.
Telling us how what they call it, reimagine the way we live. You know, that's their phrase, reimagine the way we live, how to kind of live. Oh, God. And all. They are the ones that cannot lead their own lives. Bill Gates, you know, divorced. Trudeau now, wife has divorced. I mean, the ones that are in the marriage, if you ask very well, Clinton, you know, he's not happy. No, he's not an happy man.
Mm.
I mean, you see all of them that consider themselves together, you see that they don't have it upstairs. They are not really together in that sense.
Yeah.
So for me, I wasn't surprised with the Justin Trudeau's, it takes a lot of guts, you know, from the woman to call it for what it is. It's bull crap when they are in a relationship that's not going anywhere. That's
but did they say what the reasons are, though?
Irreconcilable.
Some people have reported that it could be because my nigga got other interests.
Yeah, but that's what they said now.
What did they say?
Rumors flying around. Rumors flying around that Bobo swings
both ways.
The other way.
Oh, damn. I'm seeing some pairing though with the French Prime Minister.
No,
too.
But
the French, French President.
Yeah, but if you see the way the guy kind of push all these LGBTQXY,
bro, he's so passionate about this stuff.
Yeah, race to power 100.
Like,
so if you see the way he pushes it,
yeah,
there's bound to be some.
I said it's in Canada. I heard that it's 2SL.
Yeah,
2SL LGBT. He never even reached America. 2SL LGBTQ. 2SL. Yeah. Two spirited. He never even reached America. Yes, he did Canada. I mean, the guy is just encouraging all kinds of weird identities.
Yeah.
Probably because he can relate.
Oh, well, exactly. Exactly.
Nah, nigga. I mean, you don't judge, but you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You do you. You do exactly. You. Yeah. Finally, we're running out of time. Quickly, Jamie Foxx. He has been called out for being anti-Semitic simply because he made a post on his social media where he said, "They killed this dude named Jesus. What do you think they'll do to you? # fake friends, fake love." Apparently, he was trying to talk about how somebody that was close to him did him dirty, and he found out. I was like, "Oh man, if people that claim to love you can do this to you, we see why they did the same thing to Jesus." And then they called him out like, "You are being anti-Semitic for saying that."
Yeah, that's another buzzword that people jump on.
I think we're just abusing the word now. Like, how can you even say that?
That's another buzzword.
How can you say that's been anti-Semitic? The guy, yeah. The poor guy, had to come and start apologizing. Like, nigga, what are you apologizing for? There's nothing wrong with it.
But that anti-Semitic stuff, they cancel you. Like, this is what they did to Kanye now. I mean, Kanyeism was a bit even, but I mean, that's what they do. Like, they come after you. Same thing with Kyrie and all. So, the anti-Semitic guys, you know, all the those guys.
These niggas need to take a chill pill, because at this rate, we all won't be able to actually talk again, because you gagged us out so badly.
That what they were doing before Elon Musk showed up? That's what they were doing before Elon Musk showed up. Now, there are some words that you can't even say on Twitter before Elon Musk showed up.
And wow.
And Elon Musk showing up now and that give room for some people to kind of now relax on their gagging and all and everything. Mm. I'm just looking for how far Elon Musk would I mean, endure before they rein him in, and then they would start their
natural endurance. That's natural endurance, yeah. Guys. That's as much as we got time for on the episode today. We gotta go. Well, I do sincerely hope that you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, give us a comment on the WhatsApp number I dropped earlier. You know, Spotify. Let us know what your thoughts are. From us at the Junction, we're signing out. We're gonna see y'all next week. Till then, stay fresh, stay jiggy. It is Saranoia
from this end. From my friends in the African nation, Zulu, Sebunana Kusasa.
Damn.